All right, so the Jays are off tonight. They're back in action in Boston tomorrow. The Red Sox have been really solid to start the year. They're five games over 500. They're leading the American League East by a pretty substantial margin this early into the year, and I think that's surprising a lot of people, where the Sox were supposed to still take a year or two to kind of get back into the swing of things here. Offense has just been torrid. I mean, they're putting up massive run production. And the Jays dropped 3 of 4 in Kansas City. The Royals have been off to a good start. You know, they've been off to a good start. I don't think they're World Series contenders. I don't even think they're going to be a playoff team, but they might hover around that spot. But a story of the weekend, which has really been the story of the year, is the Jays' offense just cannot get off the mat. You know, it's very touch and go, but their offense is really, really struggling. And the amount of pitchers that they do not have available to them, specifically out of the bullpen. Like, if you look, like when Tanner Roark is making multiple appearances out of the bullpen in one series, you know you're in trouble. Like, you know you're in trouble. And you look at it. Now, Kirby Yates has not pitched a game, and he won't be pitching a game, but still, he was supposed to be a guy that was going to play a prominent role. He's out. Merriweather, Romano, Chatwood, Pearson, Hatch, Phelps, all either on the IL or day-to-day, and Ross Stripling not available in the rotation. Like, those are all arms that would be getting appearances before TJ Zoik would, before Tanner Roark would, and they're grinding, man.
And they're leading the American League in ERA. Who would have thunk it?
Right.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but which, again, that's the glass half full, is that, because yesterday it had nothing to do with the bullpen. Like, Zoik, he got hit, he gave up a couple of runs, but they didn't generate any runs. No run support. Well, you don't put anything on the board,
one
you can't win.
They're hitting 192 with runners in scoring position.
Like, yeah.
That's not usually a recipe for production.
Ideally, that's not going to work out for you. Yeah, generally speaking, that won't work out for you. So to talk about the Jays, hey, listen, it could be worse. They could be the Yankees. Yeah, you talk about panic, man. Like, the Cashman had to come out and speak to the media today, and the old vote of confidence for Aaron Boone. And to chat about it all, we're joined now by ESPN MLB analyst and insider. Here is Tim Kirkjian. How you doing, Tim?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
Well, we're trying to put the Jays into perspective, among other things, in the American League East. And, again, they're a couple games under 500. It's not the end of the world. It's early in the season. But they can't hit right now. They got Vladdy, who's hitting like an MVP, and Bichette's been pretty good. And beyond that, they've got real issues here. Is it because Springer's hurt? Is it that Biggio's off to a bad start? What's your read on the offense up here in Toronto?
Well, it's the problem that everyone has in baseball. It's really hard to get a hit these days. The pitching is so good, and I'm certainly not defending the Blue Jays at the plate, but, you know, the Cubs are hitting 189. The Yankees are last in the league in slugging. All sorts of good teams are not scoring very many runs. You look at the Braves, other than Acuna Jr., they don't score any runs. They don't have anyone who's really going well. This is just the way it works now, and we should all get used to it, that until a major adjustment is made by our hitters, we're going to see some pretty low batting average and low runs scored. Last year, the league hit 245. As of the other day, the league was hitting 235. Now, we're talking about the lowest batting averages since 1968, the year of the pitcher. And the Blue Jays are just in that category. They have not been able to put the ball in play or put runs across the plate because they're facing such good pitching every day, and it's everywhere, and it's relentless.
So, Tim, a lot of people have batted around different ideas for how to improve this situation. We know in the Atlantic League, Major League Baseball is kind of participating in an experiment this summer where they're going to move the pitching mound back a foot. I mean, what do you think of that, or have you heard other ideas that you like better?
Well, I'm totally against that idea on the big league level. If you want to try it in the minor leagues, yes, go ahead and try it. Somebody's going to get hurt throwing from a foot further back. Sounds like nothing, but it is. And I've had people say this is as bad an idea as they've ever heard. But in the minor leagues, now's the time to try it. But I'm totally against working that in the big leagues. These creatures of habit are used to throwing a certain way from a certain spot, and to change it when it hasn't been changed since 1893, I think is a really bad idea. But to fix this, fellas, it's a really difficult fix. It's going to take our hitters having to say, all right, I got to do something different because this guy is better than me. Former J. Paul Molitor once told me, you know, he made an adjustment on literally every at-bat, sometimes every count, every swing, based on the situation. But when he finally faced Pedro Martinez in his prime, Paul Molitor, an aging yet still really good player, said, he's better than I am. I can't hit this guy unless I make an adjustment. So he started swinging at the first strike he could see because he knew if he got behind to Pedro Martinez, he had no chance. That's the way a lot of players, our hitters, are going at it today. And until they acknowledge this guy right here is better than me, I have to try something else. I have to hit a ball over there. I have to hit a ball on the ground. I have to try to hit a ball in play. This is what we're going to have for years to come.
We're chatting with Tim Kirkjian of ESPN. Again, the Jays are off tonight. They're in Boston tomorrow night. And outside of the Dodgers, who are just doing what we expect them to do, I think they're 13-3. We can get to them momentarily in terms of potential dynasty mode if they're not there already. There's been a lot of surprises throughout baseball. And you look at the American League East, the Yankees are at the bottom of it. The Red Sox are at the top. And I'm personally trying to figure this out. As we said, we were just talking about offense. The Red Sox are manufacturing a lot of runs somehow. When you compare it to the rest of the American League East, it's really not even close. Is that sustainable? And do you believe that the Red Sox are maybe a better team than some people thought they would be coming into the year?
Well, when you figure out the AL East, you let me know, because
right.
I certainly haven't figured it out. And yes, I think the Red Sox are a very good offensive team, and I don't think that's going to go away to any large degree. Now, I don't think they're going to pitch nearly as well as they have to this point, but they are better than I thought they'd be, and I thought they would be sneaky good. I thought they would be a contender for a wild card. And now in a jumbled American League East, I think you can move them up a slightly, another notch up also. Alex Cora makes a huge difference there, and J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers and some really good hitters are starting to look like the hitters of a couple of years ago, not last year. So I like the Red Sox. I think what they have offensively is sustainable. We'll see about how they pitch.
So, Tim, obviously, what do you make of what's going on with the Yankees? I mean, you know, nobody expected this slow start. You know, there's always overreaction in Gotham when the Yankees are not the evil empire at the top of the standings. But is this a real crisis, or is this just a blip that we'll be forgetting when they're back in first place in a month or two?
Well, it's more than a blip, and it's less than a crisis. It's somewhere in between, but there are significant issues there. I think they need a number two starter on that team after Gerrit Cole. I think they need to take a long, hard look at that lineup and wonder if it has been constructed properly, because there is so much swing and miss in that lineup other than DJ LeMahieu and sometimes Aaron Hicks. That's a real problem. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is one of the strongest hitters I've ever seen. He's one of the strongest people ever to play the game. But when he's not swinging well, he's a pretty easy out. And as great as Aaron Judge is, and he's a great player, he's an easy out, too, when he's not swinging particularly well. And the Yankees have a lot of those guys in the lineup. And yet, I fully expect them to turn this around and be right in the middle of this race before it's over. But I had them as the best team in the East going into the season, and I'm not so sure about that right now.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to imagine. Like, I'm just looking at their stats right now. They have a 642 team OPS that is tied for last in the American League. And I know we're only 15, 16 games into it, but when was the last time the Yankees were in that spot? You've been listing off a lot of historical notes here, Tim. I would think it's been a long time since they were in a spot like that.
Long time that they were last in slugging, even after 15 games.
Right.
Going into yesterday, they had as many homers as the Orioles, 15. That doesn't make any sense. And that's going to change because these guys are going to get hot eventually. But why it's taking so long maybe comes back to, again, the dominant pitching that you see. And with a swing and miss approach like so many guys, the Yankees, as well as other teams, are really going to struggle offensively.
With Tim Kirkjian of ESPN. So, again, there's a lot of kind of upside down in baseball right now, but the one consistent and the one team pulling its weight in terms of expectation would be the Dodgers. And, you know, run differential has become such a prominent statistic over the past decade or so in terms of determining what you really have. And they played 16 games. They have a plus 38 run differential. They're 13-3. How do you stop this team? How is it possible for any team throughout baseball, American League, National League, to think if they're healthy, anyone but the Dodgers are going to win the World Series?
Well, first off, the greatest run differential ever is plus 411 by the 1939 Yankees. Right?
Okay.
Go figure that out over 154 games.
Wow. That's
ridiculous. So the Dodgers are clearly the best team in baseball, and I don't see anything stopping them from being the best team in baseball going into the playoffs. Now, anything can happen in October, but their pitching is fantastic. I told you guys, last year they had a 3.02 ERA.
Right.
The next best ERA in the league was 3.84. That gap is the largest gap ever. And they had the best, had a great defense. They hit more homers than anyone else, and they're better this year than they were last year on their roster. They play through injuries. They just keep bringing guys in who can hit and can throw 95 miles an hour. It's ridiculous how good they are. They've led in every game. They could have won every game. And yet they just find a way to win every game no matter what. It's really impressive what we're watching.
Well, and the addition of one of those guys you talked about would be Trevor Bauer, who is always outspoken, and you know he's always got something to say, although he's been kind of in the limelight based on these new, I guess, the suspicion that maybe something could be happening with baseball. So, you know, the doctoring of baseball, these new rules where my understanding is baseball essentially is going to use this year to review everything and come up with some sort of plan in the future. And Bauer was brought into the spotlight based on a report recently that some of the balls he had been using had been shipped to Major League Baseball and they were going to review them. He didn't like that report. He came out and spoke against it. What can you tell us about how baseball is handling this and where this story is going to go the rest of the year?
Well, I don't think he's been singled out because they're taking balls out of every game from pitchers all over the place just for tests. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to figure out, among other things, if spin rate and the increase of it and other advanced metrics is based on something that is put on the baseball. And if so, they want to try to put an end to that. And I think it's a good idea. However, to try to police this is virtually impossible. I've had major league managers tell me that every catcher in the big leagues has some sort of substance on his catching gear. So if the pitcher needs a good grip, he just wipes the ball against his shin protectors. And now the pitcher's got a ball with a stickiness to it and a mark on it, and that's going to help him. Don't forget Yadier Molina, one of the great catchers ever, had a foul tip, like stick against his chest protector a couple years ago. This is how it works. So I'm all for trying to figure out if somebody's using an illegal substance with the understanding that almost everyone is using some sort of an illegal substance and not so they can throw a spitball or something, but so they can get a better grip, throw the ball harder, throw the ball better. And I'm all for policing that, but it's really, really hard to do.
So you talk about, you know, this pitching dominance, Tim. I know you're a historian of the game, and you talk about how you don't like the idea of moving back the mound a foot because it could lead to injuries of pitchers. They've lowered the mound in the past. I mean, back in, what was it, 68? Is there any other tweak? I mean, I know you talk about adjustments hitters can make, but do they need to do anything else in your mind to just reduce the ability of these pitchers to be so dominant?
No, I don't think there's anything you can really do right now. I think it is now incumbent upon our hitters to make the adjustment. Don't forget that during the steroid era and other times, the pitchers have just gotten their brains beat out, and they said, all right, we got to do something about this. And they all started getting bigger and stronger. They got their own pitching coaches. They worked on other things. They used analytics. And they have closed the gap, not only closed it, now they are in front of the hitters in every way. So now it's the hitter's turn to say, okay, these guys are great. They have video. They know exactly what we're doing in every count. And it doesn't matter anymore. The stuff is so good that when Julian Merriweather came in on opening day and threw that stuff, like no one even knew who he was. That stuff's unhittable. It's ridiculous how good some of these guys are. I told you when Lance Berkman retired 7 years ago, he told me every night someone's coming out of the bullpen throwing 95 miles an hour, and I've never even heard of him. Yeah. That's the way the game operates now. So it is up to the hitters to say, all right, what are we going to do here? Because most nights we're overmatched.
Well, I hope they figure it out at some point. I think I speak for most baseball fans, but it doesn't appear to be happening anytime soon. It's always great to catch up with you, Tim. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. See you.
You got it. Tim Kirkchian of ESPN. And he's right about, like, Merriweather stuff. He almost had a, you know, perfect and immaculate inning. I mean, the guy came in and just it was hitting 101 on the gun and then was coming back with a changeup that was hitting, what, 81 on the gun? It was like a 30-mile-per-hour dispersion in pitches.
Incredible.
And a recent example of that was when Anthony Kay started last week. And I, you know, I'm familiar with him. It's not exactly like I'm breaking down his stuff. He's hitting 95 on the gun, 96. A lefty coming out. He's not big. He's not bulky. 95, 96 on the gun with ease. I mean, that's a guy who's not even close to a part of your regular rotation if everyone's healthy, and he get 95. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I know I really trust Tim's opinion on that one, but I do know there are other people in baseball who believe they got to take more drastic action than just, you know, telling the hitters to adjust. And that's why they're trying this move the mound back a foot, because, you know, they had to lower the mound in 68 because the pitchers were too dominant, and it kind of took that dominance away and swung back in the other direction. But I think they got to do something in my mind to somehow equalize things, because right now I don't want to watch pitchers mow guys down. You know, once in a while, great. When it's truly, you know, truly a great man in the middle of a great inning or a great performance, that's great. But I don't want to see this every night.
Well, it shouldn't be, again, consistently every arm you see. Like, the way bullpens are built now is a perfect example. It's just power arm after power arm after power arm. You know, guys just come out and hit 97, 98, 99. You know, when I was growing up, there'd be one guy on a staff that could hit that number, you know?
Exactly.
And now it's just everyone has power, and everyone's got a nasty changeup or a nasty, you know, breaking ball or whatever. A lot of times you have multiple pitches like that. And I mean, let's be honest, the viewpoint of a hitter in Major League Baseball has drastically changed as well. You know, it used to be just bat for average, do what you can to get on base, slap the ball around, do whatever. Now it's launch angle and exit velocity and, you know, slugging percentage and OPS. So I'm not surprised that batters are being hurt by that, because it's as if everyone's got to swing for the fences when not everyone's capable of doing that. And
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just
turned it into an all or nothing game. Yeah, you're right. They've turned it into an all or nothing. You know, the three true outcomes: you either hit it out of the park, or you strike out, essentially, right?
Yep.
And that's why the Yankees are 5-10 right now. Short, you know, long story short, in a lot of ways, because the guys who normally hit it out of the park for them, the Stantons and the Judges, you know, they're not having great starts this year.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And yeah, maybe they need a little more pitching too. But you know, it's intriguing. I mean, you know, there's nothing better than, you know, baseball, you know, evenly matched battles at the plate in the playoffs between a great pitcher and a great hitter. But right now you feel like there's just so many great pitchers and not too many great hitters.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking. And again, the Jays are an example of that. Like you mentioned, they're leading the American League in ERA, team ERA. And I listed off all the guys that they don't even have available to them that would absolutely be pitching. You know, like Merriweather, Romano, Chatwood, Pearson, Hatch. We haven't seen Pearson, Hatch, Yates all year. We won't see Yates at any point. But, like, those are guys that were legitimate. You talk about power arms and guys who are going to come in and be in high-leverage situations. They haven't even been available to them, and they still have a 3.04 team ERA. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's credit to the Jays. They've built depth, and they've worked it out. And if they could balance it out with the offense, they'd be up there with the Red Sox right now. You know, if they got some offense, they'd be 4 or 5 games above .500.
And you got to believe that's coming.
It will come at some point. It's going to even out. Even if it's not to the extent that we might be used to, relative to the league, it's going to be good enough where it will balance out. Like, more guys are going to give you offense. You know, Springer will return at some point. Hernandez will come back off the COVID list, although before he went on, he was striking out every second at bat. It was outrageous.
Exactly.
But, you know, look at Grichuk. there's good Grichuk, bad Grichuk. We saw the bad one over the weekend. He had four strikeouts yesterday. Like, there's some inconsistencies here, but there's talent. There's too many guys who, when they get hot and it all connects, they're going to light some staffs up. Like, it's going to happen, and I think people realize that. So thanks again to Tim Kirkjian for joining us.